I have been elevated. We have decided to promote you. So please make your way up to the stage and I'll pass you the microphone and I'm going to pray for you as well. We see that. Why don't you just stretch your hands out to Nicole and we're just going to receive her as a gift. She is a gift to this church. She's done so much for this church already and we just felt like she had something in her heart to be released for us. And Father, we do. We just receive her as a gift in this local house. To this congregation, these people here tonight, Father, we thank you that she has something to say which is going to stir hearts tonight, which is going to stir up faith in the people of who's here tonight, Lord God. We just speak your words to be spoken through her, over her right now, in Jesus' name. We just declare your spirit to be upon her. Let her feel your anointing as she ministers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yesterday, as I was packing up after preparing, I dropped my iPad and it chattered everywhere. So, yeah, so I've been laying hands on it all day. It still looks the same, so I think you might as well all just give me $100 each and then we'll just deal with it. We can just deal with it that way. Okay. Then we'll just pretend that it happened that way. Okay, no, just kidding. Okay. I'm just going to start off with a bit of a song. Listening. Just the words to that song, it says, call me out from where I've been. And tonight, what I feel to speak about, if we can have the slides there, Gary, is it on there? Just in the course of the week of preparing, I saw a picture, and I felt God say to me, I want you to speak around that picture, and it says, uncage your heart so that your spirit can soar. And I just loved the worship time. I was panicking a bit in the worship. I thought, oh, Lord, you're really doing the work in worship, man. What am I going to be left to speak on? But you know, God has just opened up the cage door during worship. And what I feel to speak on tonight is that so often as being as Christians, we can so ignore that we have got a physical self as well. And that when Jesus comes to set us free, he comes and makes us a complete new creation. But then just life happens and our hearts get caught up in the way and we just ended up becoming this little bit of a powerful Christian, but with a wounded heart and tend to walk with a bit of a limp. And I just feel to unpack my own personal journey of how God has just set me free from just a broken heart. And then hopefully just tonight, I have to say that I'm not a gifted teacher or preacher, but I do carry the heart of God inside me. And I know that God's heart is to set his people free. Okay, so over there, I feel that God's heart is that he wants us to have a history of victory. He wants us to create our own story. It needs to be a story that is fulfilled with destiny and passionate purpose. Where you are the character that says, I am free to be me and all that he's called me to be. Where you've come out from a place of hiding and where his people's hearts are uncaged and their spirits are soaring. So what I aim to do tonight is just to bring some hope to those that need hope and to inspire. Because anything is possible where there is hope. And when we inspire, it brings the fire. See, I rhyme, okay. Who of you believe that you've been created for a purpose? Do you believe that? Okay, so I'm just going to just go over some stuff for you, that you are a gift from God. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, children are a heritage, and that heritage means a gift from the Lord, and that you are a reward from Him. So I want you to say to yourself, I am a gift. And if you're a parent that's been waiting to win the lotto and you've got a child, you've already been rewarded. Now I'm just teasing you there, okay? So as parents, a kid sitting here, we are a reward and we are all a gift. You were planned by God. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, one of my favorite scriptures. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart for my holy purpose. You were named by God. And I couldn't really find a scripture about this. And I just know when I was just unpacking these things with God, He gave me a song around this. I'm going to try and sing it, okay? It goes, before you were thought of, I gave you a name. Before you were born, I loved you the same. Nobody knows you as best as I do. Surrender to me and what I plan to do. Okay, that was the song that He gave me. And just during my journey with God about how He names us, that when we are born, and especially that the eyes of God roams the earth and He finds your parents for you, and then you're born, and even though your parents physically name you, just during my walk with God, how many of us actually know what our names mean? Do you all know? Okay. So I can remember one time just sitting in a very, very defeated place as a Christian, just completely having a self-pity party, and I went off to a ladies' meeting, and one of the ladies there decided to write down the meaning of everybody's name. And when she came to me, she said to me, Nicole, what does your name mean? I was like, I don't know. She's like, it means victorious people. I was like, wow. And you know what? In my whole walk with God, in the years that I've known Him, every time there's a battle that I've been faced with, I've just remembered, you're going to make it because you're a victorious people. And another time, I was just sitting at the office at work and I was starting to compare myself. I was a new mom and just comparing myself to mothering and feeling guilty that I was a working mom. And I just said, God, I wish I had more grace. And He said, what is your second name? So I said, Anne. He said, what does that mean? So I said, I don't know. He said, Google. So I Googled. And it says grace and favor. So I stand here tonight, not as Nicole Anne Porchita, but victorious people, favored grace, Porchita. Okay, so that's our name. And just even as I was planning in today, just to have a bit of fun now, I was just doing some looking at people's names. And Lenore, do you know that your name means light? And for those of us that know our friend Lenore, I just know that she is a light. Wherever she goes, she's just an incredible light, just shining so bright. Here we go again. And then I was looking at the meaning of different people's names that I thought would be it tonight, and I got a bit bored. So I found this thing called Urban Dictionary, and I typed in the meaning of some names. So let's see, who do we pick? Jade. Where's Jade? Jade. Jade is the awesome, amazing girl who's an awesome friend, and she's always there for her friends. She sticks up for what she believes in is right all the time. She's loyal to and loyal to those around her, but will not be walked over. She trusts until she has a reason not to and believes in second chances. She is a big dreamer and determined to make her dreams reality. She's not afraid to say how she feels. She's very caring. She's just an all-round nice person and friend. So in times when we get a bit lost, just go and Google and just remind yourself the name that God has called you. And then when it came to James, there was the biblical one, and this one in Urban Dictionary said, people with the name James are generally known for their good looks, and women are simply just attracted to them. So, Corinne, you've done well there. God's given you a good gift. And who else do we have? Let's do Corinne then as well. Corinne is everything you'll ever want or need in a person. She is the prettiest of prettiest, smartest of smart. She will have you laughing for hours to end. Corinne is the most talented individual you'll ever meet. Along with all that Corinne embodies, what she means to be a true leader. Corinne will never follow the herd. Corinne creates her own path in life. Corinne is the girl you look at and say, oh, I wish I could be like her when I grow up. Corinne is divine in her own right, and she'll always come out on top. Okay. So, and to encourage you, go and look up at the meaning of your name. So you were named by God. You were formed by God. Psalm 139, and I read the Message because I believe God created the Message Bible for me and my inability to understand anything else beyond that. Oh yes, you have shaped me inside and out. You formed me in my mother's womb, and I thank you. Hi, God, you are breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship you in adoration. What a creation. So next time you stand in front of the mirror, you say to yourself, what a creation. Okay, when you look at yourself. You know me inside and out, and you know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. You are important to God. And you have a plan and a purpose from God. I honestly believe that the 9 months that we spend inside of our mother's womb, just something massive, massive takes place. Because if you think about it, this is my little thing I had, that if it only took God 7 days to create the world and everything in it, and he took us 9 months, then surely we mean like a really big deal to him. So I'm going to close my eyes as I try and work this out. So this is what I believe takes place inside the womb, that he's busy knitting us together, you know, our mental side, our physical side, our emotional side. And then one day he comes to me and he says, hey, my princess. I say, hey, Papa. He says, can you see me? And I said, no. He says, let's give you some eyes. He touches and he knits together the eyes. And as he touches the eyes, he says, my child, one day you're going to see things that other people don't see. And it's going to frustrate you and you're going to get irritated. But you know what? That's a gift that I've given you. And I'm going to use it powerfully one day. And then he comes and he touches your mind. He says, my girl, I'm going to give you the most creative mind ever. People are going to think you odd when you come up with your ideas. Your husband's going to think you're crazy. But you know what? The biggest battle you're going to have in your life is going to be in your mind. But one day you're going to know you've got the mind of Christ. So keep going. So I believe it's the most intimate time that we ever have with our Creator. It's in that womb-like intimacy with him where he's just breathing in just the blueprint of destiny into our lives. But the devil's also got a plan. And his number one thing is that he will do what he can to make sure that we don't get saved. The second one is that when we do get saved, he'll make sure that we'll be the most ineffective Christians that have ever walked this earth. But don't be afraid. Because if we read the Bible, we know that he actually has no power over us. And that we have the victory in Jesus. And all he has is a pack of cards. So these are my cards over here. You can see the devil's playing there. The devil, he just plays his cards, and he's got the same boring tricks that we always fall into. He really does. Like whenever I'm going through something, I phone a friend, they're like, Nicole, there's nothing new. This is what he's doing. The same boring tricks. And his game is pain, and his cards are just a pack of lies. Okay, so his game is pain. The more pain he gets, the greater the aim, and just his pack of cards is lies that he just keeps on playing. So what I believe happens is that you face a situation to something that we actually control, throws one of his cards, says, okay, I think she's going to react like this, so we'll just throw in a card of deception right now and just see if she falls for it. Then we do, and that's how the whole cycle starts. But in Christ, we have the victory. So how my story begins is that there's no time to go into my whole testimony, all of that, but all I can say is that at times it felt like there was more pain than joy during just like my existence on earth. And like many people, I've just been through many things as well, from sorrow to depression, suicide. I faced rejection, faced emotional abuse, adrenal gland burnout, and ended also just in going to drugs and alcohol at some stage in my life, just trying to numb the pain that I was feeling. And what happens is that when our hearts go through pain, we actually just go through one or two responses. Basically, we want to fight it and fight what's causing it, or we're just going to run very far from it. And boy, was I a runner. I can remember my dad sitting here now being very young and saying, that's it, I'm running away from home, I can't do this very more. And he was like, here's your tin of baked beans, babe, you know, enjoy it. Devastated that my dad had let me walk out the door, but I didn't know that my dad actually followed me that night, you know. And yeah, and ever since then, I've just been a runner. Anytime there was anything uncomfortable that was happening, I never stayed around to fight, I just bolted out the front door. And that took me to an invitation from God to come to Him. And what had happened was eventually I believe that being a runner, the only good thing to running away from stuff is that we do run eventually into the arms of God. And it was about, we had just moved from Port Elizabeth to Durban, and we'd been living in Durban for a few years, and just about a year and a half, to start afresh. And Quibus and I had a really big fight, and he bolted out the front door, and I went into the bedroom, and I just started to cry uncontrollably, and just an absolute anxiety came over me. While I was sitting there on the floor, I just saw a very clear picture, and I saw myself in a white clothing with a straight jacket, in a white padded cell, because for my whole entire life, like since I was young, I always had this fear that one day I was going to land up in a mental institution. And this fear just gripped my heart. And I remember saying like, oh, here I go. There goes my mind. It's gone. And the next picture I got was I was standing on a cliff and I just heard this voice say, jump, jump. And when I heard jump, this fear just gripped my heart. And I remember crying out, God, if you're out there, you really need to come and prove it to me now. And the next minute, I just felt like warm water was just flowing down, just washing. And I cried and cried and cried. But it wasn't tears of just despair. It was just tears of release. And that must have gone on for a few seconds. And when I stood up, I can honestly say it felt like the depression had left me, the anxiety had left me. I was a completely new person. And that following Sunday, I went to the local church and I got saved. And that's where my journey with God really started. And I can remember for about 6 months after that, I was just floating in this bubble of peace. People thought I was absolute nuts. I'd be like, oh, Jesus is so good. Speaking to all the Muslims and the Hindus at work, God's so good. Floating. And then comes saying yes to the wrong invitation. The devil decided to play another card, and it was, hey, you, get busy. Yeah, I was a busy Christian, I'm telling you. I cooked more meals than I think I could ever have done in my whole life. Sometimes other families ate better than mine. It was just, I was a busy, busy Christian, just working really hard to make sure that God was happy with me. You know the deal? Really hard that He was good at, you know, happy with me, that my friends were happy with me, that everyone was just happy, and that I was being a really amazing Christian. And then came an invitation to rest, because I was starting to burn out a little bit. And God gave me the scripture, comfort my people, says your God. Speak softly and tenderly to Nicole, and make sure that it's very clear to her that she has served her sentence, that her sin is taken care of, and that she is forgiven. She's been punished enough and has done more than enough, and now it is over and done with, from Isaiah 40. But you know what? I still didn't get it. I didn't understand what he was saying. The whole time he was just saying, Martha, Martha, stop. People would come up to me and say, God's saying, Martha, Martha, stop. I didn't know what it meant. Always wanted to be like Mary, didn't know what they were talking about. And then what had happened was, it was during the birth of my second son, Noah, and we had fallen pregnant. And what had happened was God had come and spoken to us, and he said, you're going to give birth to a little boy, and you're going to call him Noah John. And it's going to mean rest, peace, and comfort. And I was just elated. I was like, this is going to be the most easiest babe in the whole world. He's going to sleep. I'm not ever going to have any sleep deprivation. It's going to be awesome. Rest, peace, and comfort. You'll never know there's a baby there. Yes, I can have 5 more of them. No problem. And I still didn't get it. And what had happened during that pregnancy, I had a threatened miscarriage. And just the burnout got worse and worse and worse. And just the depression got worse and worse and worse during that time. Till eventually I just had a complete meltdown, complete just absolute burnout. And God came and spoke, and he said, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought victory, justice through to victory. And I still didn't get it. I was like, God, you're so good. You're going to bring justice to everyone that has done something ugly to me and got me to this place. I refused to accept any responsibility for the place that I'd got into. I was like, these oaks and these girls are just going to get it. And then I went and unpacked, and that word justice actually means conformity to truth, fact, or reason. So God was actually saying to me that he will not break us, he will not snuff us out, until every part of us had conformed to the truths, the facts, and the reasons of who we are in Christ, and that'll be our victory. And that's where I started having an introduction to the grace of God. So to recap, there, Satan wants to rob, kill, and destroy. His aim is pain. The more pain, the better. And his cards are a pack of lies. Where God's plan for us is that he wants us to know his goodness. He wants to see us whole. So his role is for us to be whole. Nothing broken, nothing lacking, fully restored, and fully functional. That's what he wants. Whole, wholeness. And then came my invitation to freedom. So what I want to say to you, the whole time with our walk with God, heaven is just giving invitations the whole time. And actually, it's all about choice. We get to choose if we want to RSVP to him or not. Okay. Wait for this one. Okay. Let your religion be less of a theory and more of a love affair. It's the quote that he gave me, because I wasn't reading at the Bible at the time. I was cross with God. So he spoke to me a lot through music and through quotations. And I was like, yes, that's it. That's it. So what ended happening was that grace gave me the space to have this love affair. What was the space based on? It was to just come and sit at his feet. He just wanted to love on me. He wanted to show me who he really was, and that I didn't have to do anything to earn the love of the Father, and that he was already pleased with me. So what God had to do was he had to take this caged heart. So what had happened is that Jesus had come, and he had opened the cage with my initial salvation, and he had set me free. And then what had happened, it's going to get heavy. It's going to be. Is that my heart had just been knocked around that whole time. So that when I stood up that night in my room, I believe he washed everything. I was a new thing. And then just life happens. You know, life happens. And as Christians, we just start to ignore just our physical side of our bodies because we're so getting our spiritual side ready. We're praying, we're fasting, we're doing all the right things, but we're just neglecting the physical self. So God had to come and take my hurting, helpless, defeated, disappointed, disillusioned, angered, bittered, rejected, and the list just goes on and on there. It like really was a messy heart. But honestly, the whole time I was just saying, no, but it's not a messy heart because I'm a new creation and, you know, all these things, just hiding behind some wrong theologies that I created, the right theologies, don't hear me, but I had added my own excuses into it. And then God came along and he said, keep calm. You're invited. You're coming to get uncaged right now. And if you can identify with any of those things that I'd said about the heart, I love during the worship where the word was came about our hearts, you know, and how God wants to lead us by the still waters and by the meadows just to restore our souls, that we were never meant to be there because he opened the cage door. We're never meant to be in that place. You don't have to stay there and you can get out because the cage door is always open. But one thing I realize is that only you can set yourself free from that broken heart. So then came the time to set this little heart free. And I wrote that it was time to RSVP. Respond soon because your victory is present. And that responding to the invitation from heaven involved a choice. This is the process that I just, in a summary of what I felt that I'd gone through and how God had uncaged my heart. It came to trusting God versus trusting man. And love it. To that it came. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Your trusted shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. On saying that, I have to say that I believe 100% in using man as part of your healing process. That's where I ended up going to. I ended up going to a doctor and a psychologist and just a group of people who brought me to my period of wholeness. But your first point of breakthrough has to be, who do you trust? Who knows you best? Under whose watchful eye do you want to be? The one who never slumber nor sleeps? To have full confidence in the shepherd's grace and care for your life. And that his help comes in different forms. So what had happened with me is that I'd been trusting God. I'd been for so much prayer and there was a bit of breakthrough. Just trusting God for my breakthrough. Until one morning, I'd woken up and I just said, God, I can't carry on anymore. So what had actually happened was I had such bad sleep deprivation from my second child. For about 2 years, I was on about 1.5 hours sleep a night. Now, we can't live on that, okay? So you're going to go a bit loopy. And that's where I went, okay? And I was just, God, I can't do this anymore. All I want is heroin. I remember just saying to him, just give me heroin. I just want to sleep. Like you see on TV when they have heroin, they just sleep. I was just finished. That was my resort now. That's where I'm going. The next minute, the phone rang, and my friend phoned Lisa Haynes. And I just started to weep. I said, Lisa, I can't go on anymore. I can't do this. She says, Nicole, so when I woke up that morning, God said, my help will come in different forms. Because I had set my eyes on, this is how I'm going to get sorted out. She said, you've got to go and see this doctor. He specializes in women's health. So I went off to this doctor. When I sat in that doctor, he said to me, because he told me now all the things that were wrong, I said, no, I'm not. I'm a new creation. This is the old that's gone. The new is gone. My husband sat there. He looked at me and he said, I've never met such a spiritually strong woman in my whole life, but physically you are finished. I went to God first. I trusted God and God sent me the help, you know, and it's been just a journey of just God sends the right people along your path when you need them. He really does. Find the right space. Where is your meadow? Where is the quiet pool that you need to drink from? Where will you be the place where you're going to catch your breath? During the time when you are in the valley, where is the place where you feel secure? And where is it that the shepherd is going to lead you to? Because I'm telling you now, I can say that God led me to Highway Christian Community to get healed. This was my meadow. This was the place that he led me to. I don't believe that when you go through something that you can actually get healed in the place of where things took place. So this was my healing, my little meadow. And then comes a choice. You're either going to heal or you're going to hide. The duration of our healing of our hearts depends on us. I can say to you, it's been many, many years, and I honestly believe that I didn't have someone telling me certain things I'm going to tell you, but it really, God wants that healing to happen quickly, but it depends how quickly we're going to listen and respond to his invitations. You can either play an active role or a passive role. In the passive role, you are the victim. We hide behind the walls of protection and walls of theology. And that's what I did. I would say, I don't need the church, because I am the church. I say that to myself lots of times. I'm just going to sit on my couch. I'm going to watch God TV because Christ is in me, and that's where I need to be. Didn't last very long. The next Sunday I was back, so don't worry, okay? I don't need any leadership in my life, because I have the chief shepherd. He's busy watching over me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, I took all the right things in the Bible, but I just used it to feed my victim mentality the whole time, and that just kept me in the place a bit longer. Or there's an active role we can take where you are the victor, a powerful agent of change. And my other point was just to get to the source. Many times in the Psalms, David cried out to his soul, Saul, Saul, what is wrong with you? What's going on? And I did that, and God would just come, this is Nicole, this is what's happening. You need to change that. You need to focus on this. That's where the source is. Forgive or fester. I honestly believe that we get two types of forgiveness, a religious forgiveness and a relational forgiveness. The religious forgiveness is like, I do it because that's what the Bible tells me to do and because I have to. Where relational forgiveness is through grace. When you read Luke 23, verse 34, it says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Telling you, people don't know what they're doing, and that's what I realized. Like, we actually don't know what we're doing. So every time like something would happen as I was being healed, I'd just go, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And forgive me, because I actually don't know what I'm doing sometimes. Like, to myself, I said, I forgive myself. And then Colossians 4, verse 4, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive them as God forgave you. And like, how did God forgive? He just didn't remember. So it comes down to a choice. Like, we can choose not to remember. Someone does something wrong to you, actually just say, like, I don't actually want to remember that. And I can tell you, I've come to a place now where people ask me, like, I can't remember that. Oh, I can't remember that, you know. It's just choosing not to remember. And to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was actually you. So it's like, yeah, we just need to like set ourselves free. Get past the past. I'm going to go down, so I don't want to run out of time with you guys. Am I okay? Okay, there's a rush. Okay. You can clutch to the past so tightly to your chest that it leaves your arms so full to embrace the present. In this stage of my life that I was in, I can tell you I spent more time in the past than I don't know where. I was just thinking, oh, if only things could be different. If only I had done this. If only I had done that. That you actually just don't see the future. And I love what it says in Isaiah 43, verse 18. Forget what happened in the past. Do not dwell on the events from long ago. I'm doing something new. It's happening already. Don't you recognize it? I will clear away in the desert. I will make rivers on the dry land. And I will provide water in the desert. It's like you get so lost in thinking about your past, you actually don't see that it's actually happening right now. And you're saying, don't you recognize what I'm doing? Don't give up. I was watching Flashdance during the week, and one of the scenes he says there, you give up on your dream, you die. And I can say to you that most of the positions I had in my walk with God, as I was just battling through, there was a fetal, you know, the fetal position on the floor, like, oh, that fetal one, like, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. It's so hard. It's so hard. And I heard a voice say, like, when you let go, I'll let go. God, is that you? And I actually realized that was Satan saying to me, when you let go of the things of God, I'll let go of you. And I just rose up and I was like, you'll never have me. God's too cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, he wants us to give up. That's the place that he wants us to be. And I honestly believe that there's a song for every season of your life, okay? And the one that you listen to when you want to give up by Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush, I don't know if you know it, you must go watch the YouTube clip. With like, they're hugging, and it goes, don't give up, na, 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 you know that one. Let me just go and watch it, because I just see the Father just embracing me when I listen to that song. And he's like, don't give up, you know, you're just going to keep on going. And if we're more modern, there's the other one, don't you worry, child, heaven's got a plan for you. You know that one, Swedish House Mafia, that one's often going, you know, when I want to give up. Like, don't you worry, child. Yesterday I smashed my iPad, I was so cross, I went to gym to burn off the anger and disappointment. And stupidity. And as I'm running, I hear the song, don't you worry, child, heaven's got a plan. I'm like laying hands on my, heaven's got a plan. Heaven's got a plan for us. He really does. So when you want to give up, sing a song. So that was the process that I'd kind of gone through with setting my heart free. But then comes the hard work. It's to set, to keep yourself free. Keep that heart pure. And the first one that I've got there, the scripture in James, where it talks about when you hear the word of God, don't let it go in through the one ear and out through the other. We need to look into the mirror. And not quickly, well, it's like actually looking at a thing. What a creation. God, yes, what you said about me, I believe. That's what I have to do every day. And I just say that just the promises of God, what his word says, always just looking into the mirror and seeing his reflection. Saturate, surround, and stay away. Saturate your mind in truth. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things of this earth. Surround yourself with like-minded people. They speak truth and remind you of your identity, your position, and your promises. And I can say to you, I didn't even ask God for those people and he sent them, and I've invited a lot of them here tonight. The friends that just saw me through that thing. He sends you the right people. Stay away from toxic talk, toxic thoughts, and toxic people. I learned that one a bit late. That's what kept me in my... No one told me that, okay? I learned that for myself. But I'm telling you, where there's misery, just misery is going to flock. And you're all going to find each other. You're all going to find the unhappy people. You're not going to see the happy people. Make no friendship with a man given to anger or any wrath, lest him learn his ways and entangle you in a snare. It's just a snare that you just get stuck in and then just get delayed a little bit, a little healing process, because God is good and he's going to pull you out of that. Self-control. We can't control what is happening around me, but I can control what's happening within me. How? To them God has chosen to make known to the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That inside of us, we have a kingdom, and one of the fruits is self-control. The cards of pain can be played and the lies released, but we have the ability to control when the action happens, to control our reaction to the situation because of that kingdom that is in us. And that's what I had to learn. Like, I remember the one time after I just learned this, I went somewhere, and as I walked in, I saw something, and I was like, you've got a choice now to get offended and really hurt. What are you going to do? And I ran to the bathroom, and I went, Jesus, 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 don't let me get offended, don't let me get hurt. Please, Jesus, I've been to that dark place where that led me once before. I don't want to go back there. Just protect my heart, protect my heart, protect my heart. I came and I sat down, and I had such an incredible encounter with God that night, because I became more conscious of God and self-conscious about myself, if that makes sense. Okay, so I just became more God-conscious in the situation. Self-aware and self-nurturing. This is my big one. Learn about yourself. What triggers you? What makes you tick? And work with that. We are Christians, and that's fantastic, but we're human beings, and we've got things that triggers that are going to push off, and you're going to get a response if I'm going to get offended there or if I'm going to get hurt. And I can say to you, people with certain personalities offend me. I have to get calm down sometimes, you know. And, for example, just becoming more self-aware that my triggers are, for example, if I'm hungry. It's a simple thing. If I'm hungry, I'll be in a bad mood. And I can go and get all spiritual about it and go, you're so frustrated, you're irritated, whatever. But then actually to go and say, like, why are you irritated, Nicole? No, you're hungry. Eat something and I'm fine. And that's the card that the devil plays. It's like, okay, she's irritated. Now I'm going to go, oh, why am I irritated? I shouldn't be irritated. I've got the fruit of this inside of me. And you go down the whole path. So it's just to believe and to get practical. Self-nurture. Look after yourself. Like I said to you, we do so well at looking after our spiritual side, but we need to look after our physical side, to eat well, to exercise, sleep well, speak well, and take time out. Symptoms. If you see any of those symptoms that I had with the caged heart, we get practical before we run off for deliverance. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's a good word there. Okay. When something happens, we stop. And we take that captive. And then we ask ourselves, what am I feeling? What is causing it? And ask yourself, can I fix it right now? Does that make sense to you? So, for example, let me just try to think of one there. I can get quite moody, but now I've learned to what my mood triggers are. Okay, so it's eating or tiredness. So I can come in and be like totally irritated. And I can just see quivers like, whoa, here she goes again. So now I stop and I go, and normally myself would go, oh gosh, there she goes with her mood. She's becoming just like this person, that just like that person. That's her history. That's the fear that I was holding on to. So now I stop and I go, okay, what am I feeling? Okay, I'm feeling irritated. What's causing it? Have you eaten, Nicole? Yes, I have. Have you slept? No, I haven't. What are you going to do about it? Okay, I'm going to say, guys, mom's tired. I'm going to have a timeout. Okay. I'm not going to let this ride myself into that thing. And if I can't fix it, I'm going to shake it off. Because I honestly feel that as Christians, we give so much credit to the devil for doing things in our lives, when actually we're busy self-sabotaging ourselves the whole time. It's like if he's got no power, like why do we give him so much power, if that makes sense? Like he's got no power, no control, that we just get locked into our thoughts and the way of doing things. Okay, so let's land this birdie. Okay, we've all had a bad pack of cards dealt to us at some time in our life. There's no need to run and hide when we can be free. Look out for the invitations of heaven that are yet to help, because your history is one of victory. We can't control what happens to us, but we can control our response. Choice is always the agent of change. We can leave as a victim or a victor. I'm going to play a song right now, and the lyrics in the song say, when you are with the king, no one can trouble your heart, because he's always got the victory. Okay, and that's why I'm wearing, like, two things you must know about me before we wrap up, is that I like the shops. Okay, I actually realize I'm convinced my husband maybe organized those Israel people in there, you know, that sell the stuff, you walk, because I'm scared of them, to keep me out the shops, okay. So I went shopping, so the girls got to have a dress for tonight, and I found this frock, okay? And it's like my little victory dress, because it's got camo over there, you know, the bride, the camo, and then that's my veil that goes over there, okay? And then my crown of victory, because Jesus has given us the victor's crown to wear. Yeah, so that's really what I have to say tonight, is that we just got to start getting real with ourselves and just with our hearts, and I can tell you, standing here, I did not ever think I'd be in this place where I would love people again. I remember when I came to Highway and Corinne said to me, so you're making any friends? I don't need friends. I've got my two friends, Elaine and Melissa. They're sitting here. Got my two friends. That's enough friends. I've done this whole church friendship thing. That's it, you know? And I can tell you that in this place, God has done a massive thing in my heart, where now I love the bride. I love the people. I love people again. And I didn't ever think it was possible, because when you cry out to help for him, he comes and sets you free completely. And you know what? God could have come and knocked me out on the, because I was saying that I listened to this teaching by that lady in Mozambique, Heidi Baker, where God had slammed her on the floor for 7 days. And in that broken place, I was like, God, you're going to slam me on the floor for 7 days. I'm going to be lying on the floor. And when I get up, it's all going to be gone. If I had not gone through what I'd gone through in learning this and God just showing me this, I'm telling you, it feels like life's only just begun for me. And the whole time when I was in that place, I was going, I can't take off 3 months from being a Christian, or 3 years, you know? Like, life's too precious and whatever. I can't be in this place. And it's just been all God. So I'm going to play that song for you now. You can just listen. Jesus, I just want to say thank you, Father, that when we are with the King, we always have the victory, Father. And I just pray that tonight, as all those words that just came during the worship, that where there's hearts that have just been bandaged up, Father, that you just removing that bandage, and that you are just bringing your healing, Father. And that your heart for us is that when our hearts are free, our spirits can soar. And I just pray right now that we would be a people who would just love passionately. That we would just love passionately. That we would just let go of just any hurt, pain, and disillusionment and be able to love. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Amen.
Well done. Well done. I want you to pray again. I'd like us just to all close our eyes, bow our heads, just to respect to everyone else. But I just feel if you have witnessed with what Nicole has said tonight, where she's spoken of brokenness, of depression, of wanting to run away, those things that she's fought through, if you witness with that, and you're saying, yeah, James, I know what she's talking about. I'm going through it right now. I want you to stand to your feet, and I want Nicole to pray over you. I want her to release the testimony that she has walked through and the victory that she's come out with. I want her to release strength over you to fight your fight. And so if that's you, I just want you to stand to your feet right now. And just in a moment of receptivity, just receive the anointing as Nicole prays over you specifically. So Nicole, can you just pray over these people?
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you hold our hearts in the palm of your hand. That you say to us tonight that I don't want you to be in that place, and that you're calling those hearts out of that cage. You're calling those hearts forth. And I say, hearts, come forth in Jesus' name. I pray right now that just any kind of just anger and bitterness and disillusionment, frustration, where you've been let down, where there's been an expectation that hasn't been met, right now just release just the healing hand of just Jesus over that heart. I just see right now that heart is a bandage that is just coming off. Hearts that have been stabbed. Hearts that have been broken. And just, he's taking hearts out of being in a catatonic state. Where kind of you've been looking at life and life has been going on around you, and that you felt so detached is because your heart has been catatonic. And he's just breathing life. He's just pumping life back into that heart. And I just see those hearts are just getting wings. They're just getting wings and they're flying. I feel God say that this is a safe space. This is your meadow. This is your quiet stream. For a bruised reed I will never break, and a smoldering wick snuff out. Just breathe into those hearts. Breathe into those hearts. Don't you worry, child, because heaven has a plan for you. Don't you worry, child, your daddy's got you. Where you've been abandoned, I just feel like there's someone here tonight where you've been left stranded and you've been abandoned. An abandoned heart. A rejected heart. I just see God coming to place his hands over your heart, and he says, it's accepted. You're not rejected. You're accepted. You're not rejected. And right now, I just pray against your names and the names that God has called you to. The name that he's named you, and where the enemy has come to play lies against your name and to say that you're going to be doing something differently. I just pray for a release now of this fresh destiny, Father. I pray that tonight, Lord God, when we leave here, that we will experience that womb-like intimacy again as we sleep tonight. That womb-like intimacy where it's totally undistracted, where it's just you and me. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Father. Just think, it's no coincidence that last week people had encounters with the lover of their souls. And this week we've heard a testimony of someone who has gone through so much and has come out the other side a changed person. I just feel like it's no coincidence, because there's something that happens in the spirit realm where we encounter God, but we need to carry what we encountered into the physical realm on this earth, in our walk on earth. And I think there's so many people, that's where we get that term, people live in the clouds, you know? There's so many people who do that. They love the Lord, but there's something missing here. They're just not walking it out. And I feel like the Lord orchestrated tonight uniquely just to remind us that there that He has orchestrated people around us to help us walk this life out. It's not just airy-fairy, spiritual, pie-in-the-sky stuff. It's real deal life. So, Nicole, that was awesome. Thank you so much. Let's just give her a hand and bless her. That was awesome. Is that your first preach at a church, by the way? Wow, that was really good. First time. That was awesome. Well done. All right.